The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
First of all, you've had a busy last few days, I suppose, last couple of weeks, because you did the deal with the Emirates. And even today, there's something going on. An Operation Twin Track. What is that?
Operation Twin Track?
Yeah.
Operation Twin Track is a Garda operation obviously focused on transport policing and making sure that we can keep our transport safe. But what I'm doing today in the Dáil specifically is implementing the 39th piece of legislation actually that I have enacted throughout my term in government. This piece of legislation will for the first time create family courts in our system, and really my objective throughout this term has been to try and make sure our justice system is more victim and more focused on those who need us. And so we will have for the first time.
I was going to come to that, but there is something, a day of action today, is there not, in Operation Twin Track?
There is. Well, look, this is something that happens quite regularly. Twin Track is a Garda operation specifically looking at our public transport. Again, this is making sure that we keep people safe, that people are aware that there is a presence of Gardaí at and in and around our public transport, responding to concerns that people have. And it's really important that people know that that is happening. There's other operations that happen on a regular basis as well, Operation Saul, and this is where Gardaí know at particular times of the day and of the week where there may be more problematic issues arising, where there may be more people using public transport, where there may be more problematic areas, that they have specific and targeted actions. And it's about a presence. It's about people knowing that they're there. It's supporting the security that are already on our public transport as well, and it's creating that presence. And look, so much for people, it's about not just being safe, but feeling safe as well.
I come to that family court legislation because that's hugely important, and it is going to transform the landscape of dealing with family problems. But if you want to characterise kind of the role that many people see for the Minister for Justice, it's trying to keep law and order, trying to keep everybody safe, and trying to deal with the antisocial behaviour that seems to be quite pervasive. And one of the things you hear complaints about is shoplifting, and you're dealing with that. You're meeting the retailers.
So I met with the retailers last night. I've met with them quite regularly, some of them a number of times just in the last number of months. And yes, what we've seen is a particular challenge and a problem arising, I would say post-COVID, where it's increased in particular.
And do we know why?
Well, look, there might be many different reasons. We have less cash in our shops as well. What we've seen is an increase in theft of particular goods and items. But you've also seen a change in people's behaviours. And again, I would say this post-COVID, people would recognise that there's more aggression out there, that there is changed behaviours and challenging behaviours that we hadn't seen before.
Was it because that they had the run of the streets during COVID, that there was not much policing or not sufficient policing?
Well, in fact, I would say the opposite. There was huge numbers of police
on
our streets and less people.
No, but I mean the rules that we
normally
have, for example, you couldn't drink on the streets. And then we had pubs selling beer out of the side door because of the rules. People couldn't go into a pub, so they bought beer from a hatch in the pub or whatever, and they drank it on the streets, and they were allowed to do so, which was contrary to the law.
I'm not sure I'd say that's a significant contribution here, but I think just in general what we've seen post-COVID has been an increase in aggression. We've seen challenging behaviours that perhaps weren't as visible, but you now also have a shift. Like I think we all accept that our urban centres have changed. There's less people in them because people are working from home. That in itself has created a different dynamic. But to respond to it, and obviously my job is to work with the Gardaí to make sure that we can respond where there are changes, where there's increases in certain types of crimes. And Gardaí have listened to what our retailers and our shopkeepers, I've listened to them over the last while, and they have put in place a specific Garda operation to respond to it. It works on the same basis as Operation Thor has done for many years. That's specifically looking at burglaries in homes, and where we'd seen a spike in years gone past in people's homes. It's working on the basis that about 40% of this retail crime is committed by about 8 or 9% of people. So if you were to target and identify those individuals, you are straight away almost halving the crime and the issues in our shops. That is already underway. That's already happening. And what Gardaí are seeing is not just an increase in reporting, which is what we want, because the more information Gardaí have, the more they're able to identify where these prolific offenders are.
Okay, but
also more cases before the courts as well, and more people being held
accountable. If they're getting all these reports and they know who the individuals are, why aren't they locked up?
Well, they are. I mean, look, take for example, in the last year alone, Operation Citizen, which is part of all of this, our Gardaí are working together. Their systems are integrated. They're collating all of this information to see, well, who are committing these crimes? Where are they happening? And how do we bring this information before the courts? There's 20% more prosecutions have taken place in the last year alone. Gardaí have arrested over 12,000 people in our city centre. There's about 20 million euros worth of drugs have been confiscated through that as well. So Gardaí are doing phenomenal work. My job is to make sure that they have the resources that they need. And to that effect, there's about €500 million more has gone into our Gardaí in the last 4 years alone. We now have Gardaí with body cameras in our city centre for the first time ever. And in the first few months of having those body cameras, we're already getting, and I'm getting really positive reports from the Gardaí about changed behaviour, about aggression de-escalating when they see cameras being put on, people being convicted because we have for the first time very clear evidence of crimes that have been committed. So it's about putting all of these factors together. But I think we need to take a step back, and the task force that the Taoiseach set up earlier on this year, I think is really important because it for the first time highlights that we're not going to just police our way out of it. It's really important. We need to continue increasing our Garda numbers, visibility, and those arrests and everything else that they're doing need to continue. But it looks at dereliction, it looks at planning, it looks at the fact that we have a huge amount of vulnerable services in our city centre, and that is changing the dynamic because of the people who are coming in to use them. How do we address that? How do we have a communications plan? All of these elements to help make sure that our city is vibrant, but that it's safe and that people
sure,
feel
but
safe
isn't
as
the
well.
First thing you have to do is clean up the streets. In other words, aggressive begging, antisocial behaviour, the open dealing of drugs. You've got to get rid of all of that stuff. The other stuff will take time. You know, maybe take years before you get rid of the dereliction, before you get more people living over the shop. That takes years. But in the meantime, you've got to make the place pleasant to be in and safe to be in.
Well, let me tell you, when I met with the retailers last night, one of the issues raised was literally the cleanliness. We're not talking about cleaning up and taking drug dealers and everything else off our streets. That has to be done. And 12,100 people arrested since the beginning of this year and €20 million worth of drugs taken off our streets. That's not that's a huge amount of work that's been done, and that's happening now in the last number of months. But we need our streets to be clean. We need our capital thoroughfare to not have huge amounts of dereliction. We need to make sure that people are not coming into our city centre for services where the footfall then is down because other people are working from home. And yes, it'll take time, but that's why the task force is so important now. The Taoiseach hasn't just set it up and issued a report. The group that is implementing it now has already met twice. And I expect that the Department of Housing, that the Department of Health, that our Dublin City Council and all of those who are responsible for all of these other actions. You have to remember, there's 10 key actions. One of them is for the Gardaí. The other 9 are for our local authorities, for the Department of Health, for the Department of Housing, for our local representatives, for many others to implement. And that work has started. But we can't police our way out of the challenges. It's a really important part of it. You know, people talk about all the focus on Dublin as well. There's about 64% of our new Gardaí recruits have come to Dublin. And it's right that they have, because we have a huge population here. But we have to make sure that we're looking at all of our urban centres as well. And many of the problems that we're seeing in Dublin, we're also seeing across the country. So we can replicate what we're doing in Dublin city centre and hopefully apply that to other parts of the country and make sure, you know, where there needs to be investment in infrastructure and planning, where we need to invest more in resources and services, that can be done and that template is put in place as well.
Now, are there any legal devices that are required by, for example, the security people in shops? They used to be able to radio each other and say, your man in the green hoodie, he's been in here trying to rob and he's heading towards you now. And they've been saying that under GDPR or something, they can't do that kind of thing. They can't communicate as they used to.
Well, I think there are ways that they can communicate. What I'm looking at is ways in which we can effectively use the laws that we have to deter crime, but also to try and prevent it. So only recently I've worked with the Garda Commissioner and we're looking at the Public Order Act. So if somebody commits a public order offence, if they're drunk or disorderly, as part of the conviction, a judge can say that you're barred from an area for 12 years or for 12 months. You can't go into that particular area.
And who's going to police that?
Well, firstly, if you have somebody that has committed a crime, a prolific offender, they're before the courts and they're then told you're barred from that particular shop. That shop has CCTV and that person walks into the shop. They're not just before the courts for contempt of court, but they also suddenly have a more severe penalty put on top of them. So, you know, we have to look at ways in which we can try and prevent these type of behaviours, that we can hold people accountable. But also, again, we have to look at, well, what are the other issues that are creating these problems. You mentioned antisocial behaviour, and so much of the work that I've been doing, working with my colleague in justice, is focusing on our youth justice strategies. It's through the Community Safety Innovation Fund. This is a fund that I set up, taking money directly from criminals and putting it back into our communities. And the programmes that I'm funding through this fund now are so many of them focused on young people. How do we take young people off the streets, people who are maybe outside of school, who are getting into trouble? How can we get them into programmes that are safe, that are keeping them busy, that are keeping them out of shops, causing the problems that have, you know, that we're seeing across the town and right across the country as well? And they're working. I was only out in Ballyfermot last week, another €150,000 for a programme there, where the people who are delivering us are saying there are young people who are coming in, they're part of this new programme. It's, you know, something as simple as a skate park. They're here with us and they're not out on the street causing problems.
I mean, on this programme, we've been campaigning for some sort of green space for the kids in Dublin 8. And it's promised, but, you know, it was, I think, Mr. Shakespeare, the boss, said it would be coming. And then it turns out, well, it'll be coming, but coming in 2028 or something like that. A whole generation of secondary school kids will have passed through.
Well, look, that's what our councils are for. That's what our local authority is for. That's what our planning is for. You know, we Gardaí can't make up that space. With all due respect, my role as Minister for Justice is to make sure that Gardaí have the resources and the tools that they need. And again, €500 million more euro has gone into our Gardaí in the last 4 years alone. So I am resourcing them. I'm supporting them. I'm giving them the technology, the tools that they need. We have more members going through our Gardaí College than we've had in many years since pre-COVID. But it's all of the other things. It's creating those green spaces. It's making sure that we have proper planning in our area, so when we develop houses that we also have the amenities and the resources and the supports for communities to thrive.
Okay,
that's what we have to do,
and
that's,
you
know, that's well, you know, it's not for justice or for Gardaí to create green spaces. Everybody has a role to play here. But, you know, on that point, what I have set up now in my term, and these will all be coming into effect now in the next couple of months, are community safety partnerships. These are groups that will, right across the country, be set up in every single county. There'll be 5 in Dublin because of its population. And they will work on the basis that if you want to keep a community safe, you need everybody working together. It's not just the role of the Gardaí. It's the role of the local authority. It's the role of our, you know, our housing agency. It's the role of health, education, all of these. These people will come together and they will look at their towns and villages in the counties and say, what do we need to do to help keep people safe? Drogheda is a perfect example.
I was going
of
to bring it up that sometimes the writ that runs in a place like Drogheda is not the writ of the Gardaí, it's the writ of the gangs.
Well, what has happened in Drogheda, and let me use that as a perfect example. Since I became minister, I established essentially what is a community partnership in Drogheda. We called it the Drogheda Implementation Board. That has brought together our Gardaí with our local community groups, with our HSE, with our education providers, with our local representatives. They put together a plan as to what they felt the town of Drogheda needed. And yes, it was about Gardaí resources, but it was investment in sport, investment in childcare, better resources for education. It was about investment in infrastructure in the towns. There's been a massive change in the town. I only met with the group in the last couple of weeks because we're coming towards the end of that work. And the changes, you know, it's about link workers for people coming out of prison. It's investment in resources provided for drug addiction services. The changes that that has brought about, and it hasn't just been about the guards, it's the whole community put together a plan. It's then supported by government and invested in. And what I am saying is now I have put in place bylaw structures that will establish these in every single county in the country, 5 in Dublin, so that communities can put in place their own plan. What do we need? What are our problems? What is specifically impacting our area? How do we address them? And most importantly, the people who are around the table are the people who will have the money, who will be able to make the decisions and will be able to put the plans in place.
Now, you want to talk about the family law courts, the new division of the courts, which will be dedicated to sorting out family problems. And it'll exist at district court level, at circuit court level, at high court level. In other words, all the levels, depending on the complexity and, I suppose, some of the issues that have to be resolved in terms of, you know, assets to be divided and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Where will it be based? I mean, is it going to be on Tuesday in Tullamore? This is the family court. On Wednesday, it's the criminal court. You know, that kind of way.
This will be right across the country and this will be decided by the specific judges and the courts. So this is one of the first things I said I wanted to do. And ironically, it's the very last law that's been passed by the Shannon and by the Oireachtas this afternoon. This is about making family law more accessible and more family friendly, which at the moment, let's be honest, it's not. We all know and have either family members or friends who've gone through really difficult breakups or marriage breakdowns where there's children or otherwise involved. I'm sure we all know as well where perhaps there's been abuse in relationships. And unfortunately, our courts at the moment are not conducive to supporting people. They're lengthy, it takes too long to access them. And unfortunately, it costs a fortune for people who are already going through a challenging time.
How will that
time.
Change, the cost bit?
Well, firstly, not everything will have to go straight to the High Court. At the moment, that is the case. It will now be the case that if you have something that's more simplistic or that can be resolved more easily, it can go directly to the District Court. And I'm a TD as well as being a minister. I speak to enough people and I know enough people who've gone through this. The cost that this places on families at what is already a very difficult time. But most importantly, what people need to know is that you will have separate courts. The judges will be dealing with family law and family law only. Be on separate days and separate sittings, so you won't have a situation where you're told the family law is sitting in a month's time. You'll be at the back of a list behind a load of other criminal trials that are happening or issues that are happening.
So there'll be a permanent, certainly in the capital, there'll be a permanent family court sitting
there will
every
be,
day.
Well, we have Hammond Lane, which is progressing. It's going to be a state-of-the-art family law court right in the heart of our city centre. But not only will it be family law in Hammond Lane, you will have family law courts right across the country. That's been worked through at the moment. And importantly, we're not just starting from now. So it'll take, the law will pass today. It'll take a bit of time for the rules and all of the elements to be put in place. I have already started to put in place resources for these. There's 31 new judges in our courts that didn't exist a couple of years ago, and I've gotten approval for 20 more. And already the effect of those is that we're seeing reduction in waiting times, they're clearing backlogs and they're dealing with
family
law matters
as well. And are they appropriately trained?
These are new judges, sorry.
Yeah, but I mean, they have to be trained in family law and, I mean, it requires empathy. It requires wisdom and empathy, really, to do the family court, much more so than a straightforward, he robbed a car.
Well, what I can say is I believe that we have an excellent judiciary and we have a significant number of people working in our courts who would have practiced in the area of family law and who have a wealth of experience in that matter. It will be for judges to put their hand up and say, I want to work in this space. There will be principal judges, so people overseeing the courts as well, who will be able to work with these judges. And you're right, I mean, this is a really challenging issue. And it's not just the courts alone that will be able to resolve this. So part of the work that I've been doing over the last number of years is reforming the system overall. So I have actually developed a family justice strategy to complement this. And what I have as part of that are recommendations and plans being implemented to deal with child maintenance, where you have problems where people can't get it, to deal with voice of child reports, where you have reports being commissioned with no oversight or ability for anybody to contradict them in our courts, where we have voice of child essentially not being heard in the courts as well, but also the in-camera rule, which often allows abuses to continue into family law courts. Yeah. That is being reviewed at the moment to make sure that any type of abuse, that cannot be continued in family courts.
Mediation is also part of the whole thing, that if you can actually sort it out, even though it may end up in a separation or divorce, you can sort it out as amicably as possible. Is there any compellability with mediation? You force a reluctant partner to go into the mediation service?
No, and absolutely not. And you'll know that I've really prioritised and focused on domestic and sexual violence. And what you can never have happen is that somebody who's in a violent or in an abusive relationship with another person, that they're forced into mediation with that person. So what I've made very clear in the legislation is that this will never be forced upon anybody, that there has to be consent on both parties. And if that is the case, then absolutely, why would you put somebody through a court where something can be resolved? What I've seen, and I've seen it personally, where something that starts off amicable goes into the courts and suddenly it escalates and becomes much more complex and much more difficult for both parties. So this is about taking the stress. It's about taking the anxiety out of what is already a very difficult situation. It's making it more costly. But as well, really importantly, it's giving children a voice. There are too many situations where children are put in the centre of really bad breakups. They're not listened to. Their views are not taken on board. We need to make sure that that is the case. And that will be the case. So once this law is enacted today, we will now start the process of getting these courts up and running, supported by the strategy I've mentioned. And I hope that we will have a more family-centred and a more family-focused court system.
Finally, Minister, the deal you did with the Emirates in terms of cooperation on extradition and so on, there was only one, I think it's a good thing, you know, it's a by and large a very good thing. The question of, would there be situations where they might require us to extradite someone that they wanted back and we would be fearful of the kind of punishment that might be meted out there that we would never mete out here?
Well, firstly, it's really important that this was passed by the Dáil yesterday. This is another tool to assist the Gardaí in tightening the net, in making sure that any criminal who decides to leave our country and to set up shop somewhere else, that they will not be let do that, and that they'll be brought home to face justice here for the crimes that they've committed. And you know, this applies to anybody who's committed a serious crime, but we know that there are people who are living abroad who have created nothing but misery in our communities. And it was really important for me over the last year to make sure that this and that both of these treaties were enacted and passed, and that Gardaí have this assistance now to complement the huge amount of work that they're doing. Of course, human rights has been at the very centre of these negotiations, and I've worked really closely with my justice counterpart in the UAE. We've worked really closely, our Gardaí, with the police, and in all of the discussions, human rights has been front and centre. It will not be possible to extradite an Irish citizen, let's just be clear on that, to the UAE. But if they request an extradition of somebody from our shores to there, if there is any chance that they will be facing the death penalty, that there's any form of inhumane or degrading treatment, or if they're being charged on penalties or crimes related to their political views, to their sexual orientation, to many other areas as well that we would deem completely unacceptable, then it will be refused. And they've worked very closely with us and they support that as well. And it's really important that that was part of that.
Lastly, a general question. The clock runs out very quickly when you come to the end of a Dáil. What's left on your desk that you would like to have got through?
Well, look, this afternoon I'm enacting my 39th piece of legislation, the Family Courts Bill. It's one of the first things that I said I wanted to do, and I'm getting it done today. So while there's lots of other areas that we'd like to do more of, I'm really happy that that's the last piece of legislation that's going to be passing through the Dáil.
Minister Helen McEntee, thank you very much for joining us on the last day of the current Dáil.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.